Good morning. Welcome to Monday Monologues. My name is Stephen Heemstra. Today is Monday, October 5th, 2020. This morning, I will talk about transformation. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Almighty and compassionate Father, the Bible says that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are to become witnesses to our neighbors, the region, and the whole world. Convict us, Lord, that our witness reaches all in need. The Bible says that Saul approved of Stephen's execution, and afterwards a great persecution arose, and that many churches were founded as the disciples were scattered by the Holy Spirit. And even the grand prosecutor himself, Saul of Tarsus, was transformed into an evangelist, who we have known as Paul. Convict us, Lord, that our witness reaches all in need. Grant us the mind of Christ, that we might focus on your priorities, not our own. Transform our hearts that we might feel the things that you feel, not the feelings of our own. That on the day of judgment we will be judged according to Christ's righteousness, not our own. In the power of the Holy Spirit, give us eyes that see and ears that hear and feet that obey. In Jesus' precious name, amen. In Acts 8:1 we read, "And Saul approved of his execution. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." In my grandparents' home, every meal began with prayer and ended with a scripture reading. One time in college when I visited, I read the story of Stephen. This man never ceases to speak words against this holy place and the law, for we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us. This is Acts 6:13 and 14. Stephen offered no defense, but rather he accused the Jews of false worship and not keeping the law. Then he reminded them of Jesus' words during his trial. "But I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on clouds of heaven." This is Matthew 26:64. Here Jesus paraphrased Daniel 7:13 in a clear claim of divinity. This claim drove the Sanhedrin crazy, and in a fit of rage they stoned Stephen, an act illegal under Roman law. After the execution of Stephen, the book of Acts introduces Saul, who not only approved of Stephen's stoning, but led the persecution of Christians in Jerusalem that followed, ravaging the church. The word ravage suggests a self-destructive manner, as in the proverb, "When a man's folly brings his way to ruin, his heart rages against the Lord." This is Proverbs 19:3. This manner of persecution confirms Saul's own testimony that he was a zealous persecutor. In leading the persecution of the church, Saul assists in scattering the Jerusalem disciples to both the regions of Judea and Samaria. This fulfilled the first two parts of the commission of Christ in Acts 1:8, and he was aided by the disciples who shared the gospel as they fled Jerusalem. Thus, even at his worst, Paul acts as an unwilling, unknowing instrument of the Holy Spirit as he accomplishes Jesus' charge in Acts 1:8, cited earlier. When Saul sets out to oppose the third part of Christ's commission in the scattering by going to Damascus, however, the risen Christ intervenes, preventing him from further self-destruction, saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" This is Acts 9:4. To this question, Saul responds, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said to him, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." This is Acts 9:5 and 6. This is in stark contrast to the response of Judas Iscariot, who committed suicide. Even before he was even aware, the Apostle Paul, formerly Saul, served God's purposes even in persecuting the church, and in doing so was driven painfully towards his own conversion and call. Persecution often traumatizes us, leaving deeper wounds than most other things. On the individual level, this trauma can lead to lifelong emotional and psychiatric issues, and if we turn into our pain and away from God, it can be intensified by spiritual confusion. On the communal level, persecution can be followed by a cycle of revenge between warring communities. On either level, the persecuted and those persecuting are bound in an indelible negative bond that is not easily broken. Forgiveness breaks this bond created by abuse and persecution and makes room for God's Holy Spirit to work in our lives. Stephen died praying to God for the forgiveness of his persecutors. Lord, do not hold this sin against them. This is Acts 7:60. Paraphrasing Jesus' own words from the cross, as one of those persecutors, Paul never forgot Stephen and mentioned him as he recounted his own conversion experience before the Sanhedrin. Was Paul's conversion God's answer to Stephen's prayer? Another important consequence of the Jerusalem persecution was that the Holy Spirit worked to establish the first Gentile church in Antioch, as we read. This is Acts 11:19-21. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyrus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyrus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was on them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The key word in the Greek is scattered, which only appears in one other place in Acts 8:4. Now those who were scattered by Saul's persecution went about preaching the word. The word scattered infers the action of the wind, and the word for wind in Greek is pneuma, which also translates as Holy Spirit. The inference is that the Holy Spirit established the church at Antioch in response to persecution. Because the apostles remained in Jerusalem at this point, the Holy Spirit used ordinary disciples, whose names remain unknown, to establish the Antioch church and churches throughout all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, as we read in Acts 1:8. It is much like God has used Pentecostal evangelists in our own time to reach much of the known world, and in many places around the world, persecution remains ever present.
Well, that's all for today. Thanks for listening. God bless. Bye-bye.